Pledge of Allegiance, and Corey, would you lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tonight, on item 1.02, roll call, we have several council members who are absent tonight. Gina Doro is on vacation, and Dan Deaver had a family arrangement that he was taking care of tonight, so he isn't going to be with us, so it'll just be Councilman Snyder, Councilman Bain, Councilman Johnson, Councilman Lawless, and Councilman Everett with us tonight. So with that, I would entertain a motion to excuse the two council members.
I'll make that motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 1.303, citizen input. Is there any citizens who would like to speak to the Othello City Council tonight about any item of interest, if you're not already on the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move on to our current business. And tonight, we have the pleasure of having with us the Adams County Pet Rescue. Jamie Kruger is going to, and Ernie Summers are with us. Jamie is a 14-year Othello resident. She has a family. She's been the shelter director for a little more than a year. And Ernie Summers is the project manager for the shelter, the new shelter. He was actively involved for 22 of 26 years in the Nebraska Humane Society, and he has been part of the Adams County Pet Rescue now for 3 years. So tonight, Jamie, you have some numbers that you want to go over with the council, and also you have an announcement, right?
Yes, good okay. Evening. So this year, 2013, was very busy, not only for Adams County Pet Rescue, but for the city. Last year, altogether, dogs, cats, horses, we rehomed 304 animals. And so if you look here at our intakes just for 2013, from the city, we took in 262 dogs, and from the county, 391 dogs. So we have been very busy. Just to break those numbers down a little bit, we've been very successful in owner returns. You see that 103 dogs were returned to their owners. Maybe three of those were county dogs, so most of those were city dogs that were returned. The adoptions, we did 105, down from the past, but still good. We euthanized 10. Two of those were behaviors, and 8 were health. Most of the time, quite unfortunately, that's parvo. We get a lot of puppies that haven't been vaccinated, and it's just that situation. But if you look, 19 dogs went missing from the facility last year. And 10 passed away, so that's the numbers, quite different than last year. Also, I skipped over it, but the transfers, we've been doing a lot of transfers to other rescues, and Kids Up Humane Society, that's all the way in Silverdale, Washington. They come all the way over. NOAA is in Marysville. PAWS is in Linwood. Sunny Skies, they come all the way from Puyallup. So they're coming for our dogs. Any questions on the numbers?
I do.
Okay.
Jamie, on the owner returns,
yes.
So you pick up my dog, mm-hmm. and you have it impounded.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to pay something to get the dog out?
Yes, so you'd have to come to the city, and there is a fee. And if your animal is not licensed, you'll have to pay your city license before you can get your dog. So usually you come up here, you pay, and then you have a receipt. Either an officer releases it, or if they're not available, they bring that slip down and I'll release it if they have their slip. This is the paid.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
They don't just get them back. They have to, you know, call someone else. All right. So our announcement, which is kind of exciting. How many of you guys, anybody do Facebook? Anybody friends with Adams County Pet Rescue on Facebook? All right. Awesome. So a couple Saturdays ago, we had a meeting and we did FaceTime with an organization called Animal House. And pretty much to sum it up, they're like extreme home makeover, but for animal shelters. And we are their pilot episode. Yeah, pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So they're going to be coming and they're going to finish what we have started. And who knows what else. We'll just see what they do. But one of the things that we're really excited is the possibility of a dog park. Switch that over. Let's see. It's a community dog park out at a community dog park out at our property, which is very exciting. This is just a rough plan. Dream list would be like a splash pad. It gets really hot in the summertime, so a place to take your dog. Waste stations along the path so that people can clean up after their dogs. Drinking fountains.
Dog fountain there.
Obstacle courses. Anyway, it's very exciting. We're very excited that it's happening. And I'm sure you guys probably have a few more questions than I can answer. And so, Ernie, if you'll come on up here. Ernie is our project manager. I don't know if you said that already. Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jamie. She is our animal director, I guess. And we, you know, you guys didn't know this, but you no longer have a city pound. It's now an animal shelter. But I call it city pound. Get me going a little bit. These are indeed exciting times for pet rescue, for Othello, for Adams County. If these people do half or even a third of what they want to do, it is going to help put Othello on the map. And they are wanting for this project to show community involvement in getting this done. They want to show Othello and the people of Othello and Adams County coming together and volunteering their services and time and making this happen. And we want Othello to look good on this. It's not going to be a, I was here when you had the business company, you know, coming in. It's not going to be quite like that. It's going to show the people of Othello, but we can get the businesses in that there. And this is just a heads up. If any of you guys know anybody that might want to volunteer, we're going to need a lot of things. We're going to need people with hammers and shovels and wheelbarrows and all that. And I can't say what's going to happen, but some of these people are going to get on TV and that there. We're going to need businesses, our fast foods and our restaurants, possibly catering lunches out there. Not the same one every day, but you know, work at saying, I'll take Monday, I'll take Tuesday, you know, that type of thing. We already have people that volunteered. Oh, for example, a landscaper here has volunteered to do the landscaping for us out there. There's more, but some of them I don't think I'm at liberty to say, but it is amazing that people that have seen this and heard about it, thanks to Eric and the community and all that, that are coming forward, giving us encouragement and stepping up and asking us how they can help make this happen. So any help we get, We need it, and we will make use of it. And again, I think it's going to reflect on Othello and that there. They first contacted us way back in August, and I guess maybe that's not way back, but in August. At that time, I thought there was maybe a 20% chance that they could make it happen. Then they contacted us in December and said we were going to be their pilot program, but don't announce it yet. Well, at that time, I probably upped it to maybe 60%. Then they announced it to us at our January meeting, and I upped it to 80% then. And since I've been talking to them and everything, I will raise my bar to about 95% until they get their project out here and all that. Of course, it is not a done deal in that there. But I am almost 100% confident they're going to do this, at least finish what we have now. But that their dream doesn't stop there. They're talking to us about things like the dog park, possibly in addition for an indoor-outdoor dog runs for our cold weather dogs that aren't going to like to be inside the facility all the time. When they get done, this is their pilot project. They want to do it right, and they want to show what they can do, so they're going to do everything they can to make sure it goes right. Is there any questions? I have to be a little bit vague. For one thing, the type of show it is along the lines of Extreme Home Makeover, and we're supposed to, when they take us in to see the final project, we're supposed to, well, kind of like at the Sean was at the announcement in that there, and at least three of us, maybe four, knew that they were going to announce there at that meeting. But I think even so, we came across as pretty surprised. So they want this type of thing from the people. The human factor that Othello can give them is what sells to TV audiences. So any questions or?
Arnie, I appreciate, you know, the level that you guys have brought this to, and I think you're being a little humble. One of the things that for the rest of the council to know is that there was 184 applications nationwide to be the pilot project of Animal House, and they selected this one out of all the other ones that were that had applied in the country. And one of the reasons that they did, I think, is a good example, not only for the city of Othello and for volunteer organizations, is they had everything in order. I mean, the website, the information was accurate and it was updated regularly. They had their financial statements and everything were all in order. And then the contact between Mickey and you and the group just kind of is the thing that, so in other words, they saw that this was something worth investing in because of the amount of local participation, the support that was here, plus the organization wasn't something that was disorganized. It was very organized. And that's what they want to put their money into. And if we're thinking as a city of growing and doing things, we have, what they did and what I saw in this group was a level of professionalism that I believe that, you know, groups in Othello and even our city government can learn from. So anyway, that's just a statement I wanted to make.
Yeah, I agree. I also should maybe state that we have a compelling story. Our facility burnt down 4 years ago. We got, fortunately, the city let us use their city pound, and we were able to, you know, continue, which is good. I'm not bad mounting, but I'm sure you've all been to the city pound and see. We're by doing the new facility, we'll be able to take care of animals better than we are here. And then the human interest part of this, they really, really will be emphasizing that. And they saw that, you know, they're doing this in small towns. They're not going to Seattle or Spokane. They want this the small town human aspect to this story, and I think we can give it to them.
Well done.
I guess one of the most exciting things that I forgot to say is they're looking at May. That's a lot of people in the world, so yeah, pretty exciting.
Very exciting.
And I would be surprised if they make it by then. It'll happen when it happens. May would be great time. Anytime. If it's blizzard, even they can come in and do it. I'll be out there helping them.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions?
And I want to thank everybody from the council for letting us use your shelter down there.
Thank you. The next item, 2.02. We have a fourth quarter fire report from our Adams County 5 Fire Protection District Chief Gary Liebacher.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, before you have a copy of my report, I'll hit the highlights of it. The fourth quarter for city alarms, we had 38 alarms, one of which displaced occupants of a single family dwelling. Red Cross stepped in and was able to help somewhat with those people. They'll be out of the home for an extended period of time. We also had an electrical fire in a single family residence. Those people were able to stay in the residence with some cleanup and repair there. We also had an industrial fire at one of the plants. On-site suppression suppressed the fire, put it out, and we stood by for a period of time. In November, we wanted to give something back to the community, so we opened the fire stations for an open house, invited the public in to see the stations, see the apparatus, and see the equipment, and meet some of our firefighters. It was short notice for the public, as well as our folks. We saw about 150 people come through, tour the facilities, and we had a good morning of it. They were appreciative and interested in what we have for equipment in a small community. We kind of had a alternative motive. We were recruiting, so we handed out 6 or 8 applications and got one back from that. We've continued our recruitment throughout the end of the year and into this year. We've got several applications out. Hope to have a class in March. Year-end numbers, fires were up slightly. Last year we had 130 fires. The year before it was 114. There were, I believe we had 5 fires of displaced families here in the city limits. We continued our inspection program with the schools of their modernization projects and fire and life safety systems. Continued that program. All the city apparatus pumps were tested and successfully passed. We certified our ground ladders through UL listing again last year. And we continued our rotation of personal protective equipment for our firefighters. And that's a replacement of the bunker gear they wear for structure. So our goal is to have each firefighter in new gear every 10 years. We're well on our way of that. diameter hose for the city, as well as fire tap lines. Last year, we did 800 feet of large diameter, which is a supply line hydrant hose, 5-inch, and we did some 1¾-inch hose, which is pre-connects in most cases on the engines where firefighters pull it. It's already pre-connected, stretch it, and they've got water. We did 600 feet down. So we'll continue with that program. Along with Public Works, we tested hydrants last year. And it's been an ongoing project for several years now. And we made it through approximately half the hydrants in the city. We're finding less deficiencies in hydrants as we do this. They're being cycled, exercised, and it's just a good program. It's working out well. Our fire prevention program is expanding each year. We're in schools, talking to classrooms, we're doing tours of the station. This year we teamed up with Christmas baskets and put some publications out, and those the warden is coming in, and we're visiting with the kids from warden in the parks in the summertime. We're doing work in the fall, I believe. We're doing warden, we're doing Royal City, and then in October we're in the schools here in the fall with kindergarten through second grade. It's always good to see the kids. Remembers year after year, so it's a good program. And currently we have 26 firefighters on the roster. We are hoping to add to that this year. Again, anyone interested? Audience or council members? We'd love to have you. Come talk to us. Other than that, if you have questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Does the council have any questions?
What's your ideal roster?
Pardon?
Your ideal roster, how many people? You said you have 26 now.
It'd be great to have 40. That was a very high number that we had years and years ago. We haven't seen those numbers in a long time.
On your numbers, when you had 40, wasn't the age lower?
Yes,
also
it
then?
Was. We were using some cadets in those numbers as well.
What is the age now? 18?
18.
Before it was 16?
When we had our cadet program, yeah. And there are communities around us that have pilot programs that they're actually working through the schools that have cadet programs. And some are accredited, some aren't. But we're kind of watching those and seeing where they go and the success rate there.
We appreciate it. We appreciate the time. And especially the volunteers, I know what it takes for time for volunteers. And actually, after the training is done, the same training that the volunteers take is actually the same training that a full-time firefighter has to receive, I believe.
It is. It's very similar. Time commitment is
time and commitment is just as much.
Huge.
We, meaning the Othello Chamber of Commerce, has its annual banquet, and Civil Servant of the Year is one of the awards. And if you would like to nominate someone from your department for that award, that needs to be in, I believe, by Wednesday this week.
Okay.
So you can get that from the Othello Chamber website, or you can stop at the chamber office.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Mm-hmm. Thank you for all the work you do. Next item on our agenda is the social media policy, and here to do a staff report is Park and Rec's Director, Molly Clipper.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I wanted to present to the full council kind of one of the projects that the Parks and Rec and the Public Works Department and the Parks and Recreation Committee have been working on recently. Some of the council might remember when we were revamping our web page, the designer of the web page started a Facebook for the city, which was, we didn't have one before, and it was a big hit. We had a lot of friend requests and followers off the first week, but because we didn't have a policy, we couldn't keep it in place because, you know, with Washington State, with our record-keeping laws and stuff like that, we kind of had to have those that policy in place before we could put a Facebook out there. And so what we have been working to do is to develop a social media policy. And so what the initial policy aims to create is just a singular Facebook page for the city. The reason we wanted to do this is because it's a no-cost method of communication. It's a good way to reach out to people to get the word out as quickly as we can. We can get information on our website, but some people may not access that. They may just take their phones places and they click on Facebook, and if they follow us, then they could get any update from the city. And it's also, you know, given the Othello Alec is our official newspaper, a lot of houses don't receive that, or people out in the community, out in the country, if they don't have it. This is another way of reaching people, or even, you know, people that are from here but don't live here anymore. So like I said, it's a great way for us to get information out. So attached with this and in your packets is a draft copy of the policy. But so kind of to touch on some of the points of the policy that we've created, we haven't tried to reinvent the wheel with this, I'll be honest. Kind of took a lot of examples from other cities and kind of found what applied to the city of Othello and kind of merged those together. It's quite long, but I figured the more in-depth we are with it, the less likely we open ourselves up to liability. So one of the policy currently is in the second review phase with the city attorney, Catherine Kennison. She had kind of pointed out some spots that we needed to clarify, and so we'd worked on that, and she's still currently reviewing it. So basically, to touch on some of the points, the social media policy delegates a social media manager, which would basically train and go over the policy with the different departments. Each department head will designate one representative to update the city Facebook for that department. So any closures, event updates, anything like that will be the one person's job. And so then once that happens, you know, we have an application which you'll find on page 8. And so that application, the department head would fill that out for the person who they would like to update the Facebook policy for, or they would like to update the Facebook for the department. And so then our city administrator would sign off on that, and we'd keep records of those so we know exactly who has access in the past, and also, you know, we can figure out who, if someone leaves, if we transition that access to someone else in the department. And that's just another way for us to have those records, but also to make sure that everything is going through the department head and then to the city administrator, so we have the right, I guess, means of approval there. So the policy also lists some record-keeping requirements on page 10, which have been established by the state of Washington. And so those are just for us to abide by. It's basically how the city would keep any sort of email or internet communication. We would abide by that same records retention schedule. It also outlines how the regulations on posting for the city. I mean, obviously everything would have to be very professional and not done on personal computers or anything like that, because that does open up those computers to records, public records request. So there's a lot, that's outlined in there. And then there's another section for citizen posted information, which given the examples that we've found, it'd behoove us to post exactly what can and can't be said and what will be taken down to let people know that the site will be monitored and anything that's harassing or defamatory or anything like that will be taken down. So it kind of gives us a way to give citizens notice what can and can't be put on there. With that, it's what we're hoping to do is to have this reviewed and approved in the coming days or weeks. And then once the final approval is received, then we will bring this back to council for approval at a later meeting date, though I don't have that date yet. So is there any questions or anything council would like to see with the
So Molly, the each department will be responsible for monitoring the content and the responses from the public on the site?
Yes, the social media manager, which at this time would be myself, would be the one who constantly monitors that, all, you know, any responses throughout the day. But if they're on there and they're updating it and they see something, they can certainly respond to that. But it's what the departments do, or designating one person for each department, I guess, basically make sure that we're keeping our info current. And I can't say that, you know, I know everything in every department, so it would just be easier to have one person that would be able to do that. And then we will set it up to have it so it will email us for every comment that's received, anyone that's following us in, because we do have to do that for records keeping purposes. So it'll all be linked to one specific email that's created separately, and then that'll be backed up on the hard drive every so often.
Thank you. Does the council have any questions for Molly? Any direction? Okay. Do you want to proceed?
Thank you. Sure.
Thank you, Molly, for putting that together for us.
Okay. So we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is a review of the Tree-City USA program. Council may remember on January 6th, at the workshop meeting, Dave Erickson, the Parks and Recreation Director for the City of Wenatchee, had just lightly touched on the Tree City USA program. He is one of the delegates and representatives for the state of Washington. And so I, given the interest from council, I wanted to come back and kind of give a more thorough presentation of the Tree City USA program and kind of what benefits that could provide the city if we were part of it. So together a little presentation. Okay, so Tree City USA is a national program that provides a framework for community basically upkeep and management of all the trees. They call it urban forestry, which was kind of interesting because I don't really think about, you know, trees here and there to be forestry. But and so in order to be a member and achieve Tree City USA's status, you have to meet four core standards. So you have to establish a community tree ordinance, which basically, we'll go over these more in depth, but basically gives rules and regulations as to tree care throughout the community and what we plant and what we don't plant, what we take out. We would have to establish and maintain a tree board or department. You have to spend $2 per capita on urban forestry, and then we would have to proclaim and celebrate Arbor Day in the city. Currently, there's more than 3,400 Tree City USA communities across the U.S., and about 135 million people live in those communities. So we'd be one of the many, and I'll show you the map here. These are all the Tree City USA communities in Washington in 2012. So as you can see, all the Tri-Cities, Ritzville, up by Spokane, Arroway Heights, Cheney. So there's a lot of communities that participate in this. So the first core standard is to establish an ordinance for tree care in the city. So it basically establish a park or a tree board in that ordinance. We would make it make it law that we would have to have a tree board. And that board would be responsible for writing and implementing any do's and don'ts with our community forestry program, so basically a work plan. And then, like I said, it would provide clear guidance for the planting and maintaining of all those trees from streets, parks, and other public places. So what that would entail is basically anything on city property. So, and so I have attached, you would receive in your packet, the city of Grandview. They have a municipal code and one whole section that outlines street trees. And so the Tree City USA program basically provides all of these resources, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel when you go to write your own ordinance. So that's just an example of kind of what they've done to establish that ordinance. So within the ordinance, it also says you have to have a tree board or staff. And they are the ones that are responsible for the management and upkeep of the community trees. So for us, that could be our public works department. It could be the Parks and Rec Committee. It could be the beautification committee. There's a lot of things that it's basically, you know, we would have to make it fit Othello, but you know, we have a lot of those committees in place already that would be able to fit us, and we could kind of start with that process already. So they would be charged with administering a comprehensive tree management program, which we will have to detail in reports to the Tree City USA at a later date. And the third core requirement is a $2 per capita expense on trees and urban forestry per year. So it sounds like a lot when you look at it, but actually there's a lot of things that this could, that you could attribute to spending $2 per capita on urban forestry. So we would have to submit an annual report, but what we could do, or what is possible, is you go through and you record every dollar, hundreds of dollars, that you spend on trees, and whether it's planting them, buying the supplies, buying fertilizer, fertilizing, watering, so our irrigation expenses, even our city employees' salaries could be put towards this $2 per capita, because you know, a lot of our public works department is charged with taking care of our trees in the parks. So that would be something that we already have in place that we could apply to this program and kind of, you know, make it a little easier for us. So, and there's a sample budget report that they provide you. It basically asks how many trees were planted, how many trees were pruned, how many were removed. And then it just asks for the total cost for tree planting, community management, tree removals, and volunteer time. So that would be something that we could very easily do rather than doing a very intricate, detailed line item of everything that we spent. You know, we could just mark that down as we went and go from there. So, and there's a second portion of the budget reporting for the $2 per capita. Like I had said, we do have to show the Tree City USA program that we have a work plan that, and it basically tells them what we did that year for our community forestry management and upkeep. So it's basically, we would just get to toot our own horn to them yearly. So kind of tell them what the great things that we've been doing in the community to upkeep our trees and stuff. So be pretty easy. It's basically like a department head report just once a year. So that is another part of the $2 per capita requirement. And then lastly, one of the core standards is to proclaim and celebrate Arbor Day. We have proclamations that are read through read at council at different times during the year, and so one of those proclamations would have to be for Arbor Day. Washington State's official Arbor Day is the second Wednesday of April, and National Arbor Day is last Friday of April. But Tree City USA says that we can celebrate it whenever we want. So we would just have to write up a proclamation and have it read at council meeting to proclaim that whatever day we decide is Arbor Day in the city of Othello. And they give us a sample proclamation, so we just make it fit Othello. And so there's a number of benefits from the Tree City USA program. One of them that I think most stands out to, or would stand out to council and staff, is It can give you preference over other communities when applying for grants, especially they have their own grant, the Tree City USA has their own grants. The Department of Natural and Wildlife Resources has grants that we can buy trees through them. We can buy supplies through them for tree planting. I think even the Washington Recreation and Wildlife Program does, I guess, grade favorably given a Tree City USA membership. I know I have looked through a number of grants before just in the state, and they do ask if we are a Tree City USA member. So, but also, you know, it's going to beautify the city. It, they have an annual recognition program where you can be basically like the most improved, or you can have if you're a member for so many years, you kind of have an anniversary program. And it kind of is just basically a way for us to provide education and different urban forestry practice and management information to our city and to our staff. So it'd be a great way to get that information out there and to kind of, you know, really put our best foot forward for all of the citizens. And, you know, people want to live in a place that's beautiful and a place where people care about it. So I think that is another one of the benefits of membership. So people the city they live in. And so this is just one of their flyers that they put out as to why we should be a Tree City USA community. Boost property value, so that'd be a good one. And then there's the application to be a Tree City USA member. So with that, does anybody have any questions about the program?
Thank you for doing all this research, Molly.
You're welcome.
Do you have any indication of interest from any of the said groups? You mentioned the beautification committee. We're just at the beginning stages.
Yeah, we're just at the beginning stages right now. And I guess we would have to probably propose that to them and see if that's something that they would want to do. But like I said, even the Parks and Rec committee, council committee, could be the ones that are responsible for that. Or we could even say the public works staff is responsible for our tree committee. So. You know, there's a number of ways that we can do that, but I think it definitely be advantageous to have the beautification committee involved, whether they're the tree board or not. If they were still involved with the program, that'd be great.
Does the council have any comments or questions?
Where would you propose to put these trees?
Well, they don't have to be new trees. It's basically an upkeep and it's a management program. So, you know, you can say that, you know, the irrigation water that we are using in the parks right now is used to upkeep the trees that we have, even like the arboretum.
So get credit for what we already have.
Right, yeah, and the nice thing about it is because of the grants that are available, next time if we ever have a windstorm or something and we go through those grant processes, if we have that money, then, you know, we can use that money to replace those trees. And so we're not pulling it out of our budget as stuff we hadn't planned.
Could we get, like, advice, too, like the wise planting of trees, placement?
Yeah, I actually just talked to one of the state representatives for the Department of Natural Resources, and he's out of Spokane, and he said he would be more than happy to give us any sort of advice or come down and even do kind of like a program for our staff members to kind of show them the best ways to upkeep the trees and best management practices. And so he said he'd be more than willing to do that and come down and talk to the council as well. So they were really excited that we were interested in it. So they offered to come down. And I think the gal who is the head of Tree City USA here in Washington, her name is Lyndon, and she's from the west side, and she offered to come down and do this presentation for me. So they're very excited and willing to help. So.
Thank you very much, Molly.
Yeah. Thank you.
Item 2.05, AWC conference. Myself and Ken Johnson went to Olympia to the annual Association of Washington Cities legislative conference. Ken, you had a report you wanted to give to council.
It's, if you never got to spend any time in Olympia, during a legislative session. It's a very interesting process. It's a completely different world from the one that we set here at the council. And the AWC, the conference itself, hit on several issues that they are pushing the legislative for. One is Public Works Trust Fund. They are still working on that to try to reinstate that back. But talking to the legislators, it don't look like it'll be anytime soon. But they have redirected some monies in different areas. And we were able to, fortunate to find one of those, and that was the TIB, which we were able to get 14th Street and 1st Street for that almost $2.4 million, which helped. And that, like I said, they have redirected the monies in different areas, but we've got to get aggressive out there and search for them to get them. And I think our city engineer has been really good at doing that so far. Another one of the issues is that was a big concern of a lot of the cities was the marijuana issues that are coming up. And in roundtable discussions with cities, it was surprising how many cities have put moratoriums on to study this further. As you know, the state attorney general came out the middle of last month with an opinion that lets the cities decide the jurisdiction of regulating marijuana in their communities. There has been a House bill that has been through into the ring that would eliminate the cities from doing that so they couldn't regulate in their own communities. We'll know by Wednesday if that bill is going to continue through. What else was there?
One of the workshops we went to was the how a bill gets passed through the legislature, how many steps it there is far more complex than what, I mean, I thought I knew generically, and I guess that's really all I did know was generically, there are a lot of steps. The governor can't introduce legislation, he has to have it introduced by a legislator, which was interesting news. He can promote, but he still has to find the legislator who is willing to introduce any of his proposals. And then how it works through committee, and then how the different cutoffs and how debate is gone and how it goes from maybe the House over to the Senate, and where it can get killed and where it can get stalled. But the typical bill takes approximately 3 years to go through before it's finally, it's three times it's recommended before it finally is passed. So I guess the longer you talk about something, the better it gets. One of the things that this city council was looking at the end of last year was hiring a lobbyist. I think after attending this conference, some of the best lobbyists you have are all sitting around this table in the DS, because we found that the city of Pullman, they're very effective at lobbying our three legislators for any particular funding issue that they have. They have a twice a month conference call with their legislators, Mark Schessler, Joe Schmick, and Representative Susan Fagan. They have regular contact. They are organized. We had a dinner party specifically with everybody from our region that represented the 7th Legislative District, and they all of our legislators attended. Pullman, of course, has the biggest group and has the most contact. But before any of that advances, you have to have a project. You have to have something worth funding so that when we go to them, we're not just talking about general ideas. We actually have something that is a work in progress that just needs some, maybe a little additional funding to get through, and then they're willing to help. But if they're coming with just a startup idea that's going to need all of the state legislature to fund, they're really not that interested in those type of projects. So it's incumbent upon us as a city council that when we do approach them, that we have specific concrete things, projects, ideas, and ways that we can interact with them. I think giving them information about issues that are pertinent to Othello is what they said. You know, the information we brought over and that the staff had prepared for us was about the water issues and about lack of natural gas, additional supply of natural gas. And the staff was kind enough to prepare a number of different background documents, which they took. And yet, when you sit down with these legislators, they don't sit and go over every document that they give you. They want to sit and talk. They just want to visit. It's more social than you would think. And it's a little counterintuitive to how you would think it really works, but with these particular legislators that we have, they want to talk about some of the things that they're involved in and what they're, you know, how are things back home, what's going on with their family. So in other words, it was a little less, it was quite a bit less about our agenda and more about what they wanted to talk about. But yet, we listened, they listened to us, and I think establishing and continuing and maintaining communication and a relationship is critical for our Othello City Council if we want to have any kind of political clout in Olympia.
The paid lobbyists over there are everywhere, and our representatives are getting hit by them constantly. And when they get a chance to hear from us as council members, what's going on, what our needs and concerns are, I think that's the biggest lobbying that we could do at this point. And I think we could get a lot more done and we could get a lot more established with that. But we need to all get involved with them. And I believe we do need to set up it may not be twice a month, but at least once a month, a conference call, or once a quarter with our legislators and sit down and talk to them and keep them in the loop of what our direction is and our plans are. Because when something comes up, they'll be right there. They'll be right there.
You know, there's other things, you know, I realize that they can help us with. They can help us with state agencies that we may be working with. You know, rather than monetary things, there's also things that maybe we're having some difficulty with the Department of Ecology on our latest sewer lagoon project or well drilling project, and they can actively help us by contacting the department, finding out what the real issues are, and then help us make headway. And that's certainly from our standpoint, that kind of political influence is very valuable. So that's sort of what I think sums up what we went through. Mark Schessler did give us the opportunity to attend a press conference, a big announcement that they made, and we got to see firsthand the type of stuff that they go through, compromises they have to make in order to build a coalition. Everything isn't always black and white. Some things are built on compromise and shades of gray in order to get support for their things that they want done. So it was really It was very informative. It was very, it was good experience. And I think that the rest of the council, if we could go as a group to things like this, I think it would be very valuable. I think you guys would learn more, and it would also help in increase the influence that we have with those legislators.
And not only just our legislators, but it gave us the opportunity to sit down with a lot of other communities and find out what they are doing. One breakfast Thursday morning, we got to sit down with, we could call them the Dans of Port Angeles.
Yeah.
Four of them were Dans and
one Patrick.
And one Patrick. Their city manager, they are a council-run form of government where the council elects the mayor from their council, and then the city manager basically runs the city. They have, in the last couple years, implemented, they are the most wired city in the state, possibly the Northwest. And they've did it with grants. Their whole city is covered with Wi-Fi, and it is free to the public for at least 1 hour a day, or you can sign up for service of Wi-Fi too and get it on a larger scale. Not only does it allow that Wi-Fi system, but then it's also used by the public safety, police, fire, and other agencies that need to have be Wi-Fi connected all the time. And they did it all with a grant program.
So then they informed us what that program was, and we're gonna forward that information, and we certainly should probably, it would be wise for us to take a look at it too. So anyway, that was just one of many things, and we can talk about those later, but I think you get the gist of what we were there. We left Tuesday afternoon to get there, and the first agenda started Wednesday morning, and then we left Wednesday afternoon or Thursday afternoon. So we were gone about 2.5 days. So I realize it's a commitment of your own time off of work, but it's just once a year for that particular conference and the legislative conference, and I think that our city would definitely benefit with our whole council going, or as many of you that could. Okay. Are there any committee reports? Item 3. Oh, yes, Ernie.
My assignment, I forgot to mention, was the most important thing I wanted to announce tonight. Did I get a chance to add just a couple of things?
Yes. Are there any committee reports tonight that want to be presented? Is there any unfinished business? Is there any new business? In item 6, the council is also going to receive the December department head report. Is there any other items that need to come before this council tonight? Okay, with that, I'll adjourn the meeting.